ESPN presents the Nia Walla Hour. With Navy photographer Ken Couch.
Good evening. Welcome to AFN Haunted Hall. I am Navy photographer Ken Couch, and this evening I'm going to take you down to the depths of the dark world for some ghastly entertainment. So find yourself a good corner to crouch in, or a nice bed to hide under, as we begin our journey with a love song by Alice Pierce. I'm in love with a creature from the Black Lagoon. Even monsters and ghouls need love. I wish Vampire would keep that cat quiet. Feed it someone, or I mean something. Lucifer sounds so hungry. Well, anyway, this next ballad is a real tomb stomper by the creatures, and it's called the Dracula Trot.
Back to you. clothes. Every single vampire knows to rise up from his perfect heart and step to the tempo of the Dracula fight. The Count himself will set the pace, sinking round with style and place. And at midnight on the dot, all the vamps are dancing to the Dracula trot.
And the average vampire wants to dance. He wants to get right with it.
And you can keep up with him by mastering the rhythm. Catch a simple step that any foolish fool can do it. Swirl your cape, stare your fangs. Look like you've got hunger pains. Flap your wings, that's all you've got. You're doing the spectacular Dracula trot.
Now, didn't that just rot your mind? You know, I just love this time of the year when we give those horrible creatures of the underworld a little recognition. They work so hard creating nightmares, foolish nights, and other chilling events. It's enough to make your skin crawl. This next bit is dedicated to them, all of them. For tonight is their night, again by our creatures, the Monsters Rally.
Oh, we're having a monster rally. All the creatures will be there.
There'll be pride in the sky, his lovely bride.
Dr. Jekyll to his monster hide. Oh, it's bound to be a grand affair. Yes, we're having the monster rally.
A trained gorilla to park your car.
And some zombies coming as they are.
And we'd like to have a Dracula to tend the bar.
Won't you join us at our monster feast?
The Phantom of the Opera will be an honored guest.
He'll sing a few selections, sure to meet the acid test.
You'll want to meet the werewolf and some creatures of that kind.
Get chummy with the mummy.
And maybe he'll unwind.
Oh, we're having a monster rally. We'll start to stir that fight. It's a familiar terror will grace the place. The creme de la creme of the horror race. And a couple of the newer boys from outer space. You'll be lucky to get out alive.
Happiness is a new broom on Halloween. Everyone loves a party. I know I do. All the fun and gifts. Oh, speaking of gifts, this next song is by Alice again, and it's about something she found. Listen to The Thing.
While I was walking down the beach one bright and sunny day, I saw a great big wooden box afloat in the bay. I pulled it in and opened it up, and much to my surprise, oh, I discovered it right before my eyes.
Oh, she discovered it right before her eyes.
I picked it up and ran to town as happy as a king. I took it to a guy I know who'd buy most anything. But this is what he hollered at me as I walked in his shop. Oh, get out of here with it before I call a cop.
Oh, get out of here with it before he calls a cop.
Home with me to show it to my car. But this is what he hollered at me as I walked in the door. Oh, get out of here with it. I don't come back no more.
Oh, get out of here with it. I don't come back no more.
I wandered on for many a year, a victim of my fate, until one day I came upon St. Peter at the gate. And when I tried to take it inside, he told me where to go. A great big box, and it's within your reach. Don't ever stop and open it up. That's my advice to you. Cause you'll never get rid of it, no matter what you do.
No, you'll never get rid of it. No matter what you do.
My, my. Now myself, I think I could enjoy a gift like that. I was going to introduce you to my brother, but I can hear he's kind of busy, probably out looking for something to drink. So let's hear from a jolly fellow by the name of Spike Jones with Spooky, Spooky, Lend Me Your Tune.
Now let's take it from the top and grab this hand wrist. I'll dig you, baby, till you're cool and stiff.
Spooky, spooky, lend me your tune. Spooky, spooky, crazy.
Just split for the mall shop and I'll meet you inside. We'll have a Sunday top with some older eyes.
Spooky, spooky, wild.
You've been bugging my plasma ever since you made the scene.
You're the utmost.
You just make my skull stand still with your lips of blue and cheeks of green.
The very utmost. Spooky, spooky, lend me your tune. Spooky, spooky, nutty.
I've got my jet lighted and my flaps are going to bend. We'll play corpse and robbers. It's a game that's the end.
Spooky, spooky, lend me your tune. Spooky, spooky, old giraffe.
If you ever cut out, just take me where you are. Baby, take all of me, but seal up the jaw.
You're a regular drag tonight.
What's with this tomb cable, baby? Why do you want to latch on to my tomb?
I'm setting up a wild gig tonight, and my pad isn't big enough to hold all the cats. Yours is the utter McUtmost.
Well, I'm beamed in on screen, and I'm moving right now, because you're the kind of a chick who swings. Baby, you're the lynchiest.
Do it to him, Spike. Always good to mix a little humor with a little gore. I have been waiting for this night for a long time. You mix a few bat swings with some bee's knees and a few hummingbird tongues and stir in some lizard blood. And wow, what a creation. Those funny little things kind of reminds me of Alice. Close the door.
I was watering the flowers on the windowsill, and then I saw them coming over yonder hill. But there must have been a million of every shape and size. And so I yelled to everyone, "You'd better get inside.
Close the door. They're coming in the window. Close the door. They're running up the stairs. Close the door. They're hanging on the ceiling. Those are everywhere."
I ran into the playroom and grabbed a baseball bat. And every time I met one, I gave him this and that. It nearly drove me crazy and had me this surprise. The more and more I knocked them down, the more they multiplied.
Close the door. They're coming in the window.
Outside to admire our lovely weather. Such a beautiful night. A poet, an author, comes to mind. No other author ranks higher in the horror genre than Edgar Allan Poe. In the time since his dark tales first began appearing in American newspapers and magazines, in the early years of the 19th century, this tragic, tormented genius of the macabre has become one of the most widely read and imitated men in fiction. From his far-ranging imagination came strange tales of revenge, torture, dead men walking, and specters of evil. Yet stirring and gruesome as these pieces were, it was a poem that was to cause the biggest controversy and mark him finally as a master of terror. This was The Raven, which appeared in the New York Evening Mirror of the 29th January, 1845. In a matter of weeks, it had been reprinted in papers and magazines throughout America, sometimes accompanied by lavish praise, and sometimes presented as a nightmare of which the reader is forewarned. When it was later published in England, the wife of the poet Robert Browning wrote, "The Raven has produced a sensation, a fit whore. Here in England, some of my friends are taken by the fear of it, and I hear of persons haunted by it." Poe, however, was not fond of the work and was only grateful for the fact that it brought his name to a worldwide public. The Raven is undoubtedly a remarkable excursion into the macabre, and the reader who normally passes over poetry is strongly recommended to this item, which reads like prose and has its own very strange lure. The Raven.
Once upon a midnight journey, while I pondered weak and weary over many a quaint and curious volume of forgotten lore, while I nodded nearly napping, suddenly there came a tapping, as if someone gently rapping at my chamber door. "'Tis some visitor," I muttered, "tapping at my chamber door. Only this, and nothing more." Ah, distinctly I remember, it was in the bleak December, and each separate dying ember wrought its ghost upon the floor. Eagerly I wished the morrow, vainly I had sought to borrow from my book's surcease of sorrow for the loss of Lenore, for the rare and radiant maiden whom the angels name Lenore, nameless here forevermore. And the silken, sad, uncertain rustling of each purple curtain thrilled me, filled me with fantastic terrors never felt before, so that now to still the beating of my heart I stood repeating, "'Tis some visitor entreating entrance at my chamber door, some late visitor entreating entrance at my chamber door. That it is, and nothing more." Presently my soul grew stronger, hesitating then no longer. "Sir," said I, "or madame, truly your forgiveness I implore. But the fact is I was napping, and so gently you came rapping, so faintly you came tapping at my chamber door, that I scarce were sure I heard you. Here I opened wide the door." Darkness there, and nothing more. Deep into that darkness peering, here I stood there wondering, fearing, doubting, dreaming dreams no mortals ever dared to dream before. But the silence was unbroken, and the stillness gave no token, and the only word there spoken was the whispered word, "Lenore?" This I whispered, and an echo murmured back the word, "Lenore." Merely this, and nothing more. Back into the chamber turning, all my soul within me burning, soon I heard a tapping, something louder than before. "Surely," said I, "surely that is something at my window latest. Let me see, then, what thereat it is, and this mystery explore. Let my heart be still a moment, and this mystery explore. 'Tis the wind, and nothing more." Open here I flung the shutter, when with many a flirt and flutter, in there stepped a stately raven of saintly days of yore. Not the least obeisance made he, not a minute stopped or stayed he, but with mien of lord or lady, perched above my chamber door, perched upon a bust of Pallas, just above my chamber door, perched and sat, and nothing more. And this ebony bird beguiling my sad fancy into smiling, by the grave and stern decorum of the countenance it wore, "Though thy crest be shorn and shaven, thou," I said, "art sure no craven, ghastly grim and ancient raven wandering from the nightly shore. Tell me, what is thy lordly name of the night's Plutonian shore?" Quoth the raven,
"Nevermore."
Much I marveled this ungainly fowl to hear this course so plainly, though its answer little meaning, little relevancy for. For we cannot help agreeing that no living human being ever yet was blessed with seeing bird above his chamber door. Bird or beast upon the sculptured bust above his chamber door, with such name as Nevermore. But the raven sitting lonely on that placid bust spoke only that one word, as if his soul in that one word he did outpour. Nothing farther than he uttered, not a feather than he fluttered, till I scarcely more than muttered, other friends have flown before. On that morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. Then the bird said, Nevermore. Startled at the stillness broken by reply so aptly spoken, doubtless, said I, what it utters is only stock in store, caught from some unhappy master, whom unmerciful disaster followed fast and followed faster till his songs one burden bore, till the dirges of his hope that melancholy burden bore, of never, nevermore. But the raven still beguiling all my sad soul into smiling, straight I wheeled a cushioned seat in front of bird and bust and door. Then with velvet sinking I betook myself to linking, fancy unto fancy thinking what this ominous bird of yore, what this grim, ungainly, ghastly, gaunt and ominous bird of yore, meant in croaking, nevermore. Thus I said in guessing, but no syllable expressing, to the fowl who fiery eyes now burned into my bosom's core. This and more I sat divining, with my head at ease reclining, on the cushion's velvet lining that the lamplight gloated o'er, but whose velvet violet lining that the lamplight gloated o'er, she shall press, nevermore. Then, methought, the air grew denser, perfumed from an unseen censer, swung by seraphim whose footfalls tinkled on the tufted floor. Wretch, I cried, thy God has sent thee, by these angels he hath sent thee, respite and respite and nepenthe from thy memories of Lenore. Quaff, oh, quaff this kind nepenthe, and forget this lost Lenore. Quoth the raven,
nevermore.
Prophet, said I, thing of evil, prophet still, if bird or devil, whether tempter sent or whether tempest tossed thee here ashore, desolate yet all untaunted, on this desert land enchanted, on this home by horror haunted, tell me truly, I implore, is there balm in Gilead? Tell me, I implore. Quoth the raven,
nevermore.
Prophet, said I, thing of evil, prophet still, if bird or devil, by that heaven that bends above us, by that God we both adore, tell this soul with sorrow laden, if within the distant Aden it shall clasp a sainted maiden whom the angels name Lenore, clasp a rare and radiant maiden whom the angels name Lenore. Quoth the raven,
nevermore.
By that word our sign of parting, bird or fiend, I shrieked upstarting, get thee back into the tempest, into the night's plutonium shore. Leave no black plume as a token of that lie that thy soul has spoken. Leave my loneliness unbroken. Quit that bust above my door. Take thy beak from out of my heart, and take thy form from off my door. Quoth the raven,
nevermore.
And the raven, never flitting, still is sitting, on the pallid bust of Pallas just above my chamber door. And his eyes have all the seeming of a demon's that is dreaming, and the lamplight over him streaming throws his shadow on the floor, and my soul from out that shadow there lies floating on the floor shall be lifted nevermore.
If only I could be as ghoulish as John Allgood, who narrated The Raven. What a poem. Edgar Allan Poe, the extreme creator of excitement and fear. I think it's time for another love song by Alice Pierce, The Invisible Man.
My friends feel sorry for me. They call me on the phone. They wonder why they always see me dining out alone. I find it very difficult to make them understand that I've been going steady with the invisible man. Stop tickling. Now when he takes me dancing, we make this silly pair. To all intents and purposes, I'm dancing with the air. But all that I've been doing since this strange beginning began is dancing cheek to nothing with the invisible man. My mother and my father are getting quite upset. They wonder when they'll meet my fiancé. Now how can I tell them that they've already met the boy they never see me with, the one here on my knee? I'm singing later, while necking in the movies, the people pass us by and look upon our actions with the most suspicious eyes. I'm holding hands with nothing, and I guess it's quite a sight. It's just a bag of popcorn on the seat to my right. I really can't describe him, and yet I know he's sweet. He's kind of short, or tall, or thin, or wide. Honest, honey, you're cute, yeah. We sure look peculiar when walking down the street. Just me alone with him together, sort of side by side. Oh, come on, honey, join in. Now, after we are married, we'll raise a family. Not so loud. We'll have a dozen children, and some we hope to see. He'll be a faithful husband, for no other woman can ever see what I see in my invisible man.
Certainly, true love. It kind of makes me romantic to think that love is everywhere. I have seen people who would love to be invisible. They are afraid to even look in a mirror. That's really silly. If I can look into a mirror, anyone can. I may replace a few mirrors, but who cares? Now let me play you a song the creatures created for me about my better half, called Mostly Ghostly.
He finds himself endeared to a girl who's kind of weird. She's mostly ghostly, up and down my spine a new sensation falls. Fastly, ghastly, the way she floats on air and walks through walls. Indeed, she's mostly ghostly, try to kiss her and she'll vanish into gloom. Hard to say just when she'll reappear.
other girls I've known were simply dimply, just another standard pretty face. But this one haunts me so, I daren't let her go. It's so thrilling, really chilling, when we share a brief embrace. Because she's most lovely, ghost lovely. What a mystic egg to have her on my arm. Truly, coolly, every hour of her, the hour of harm. When I'm with her, a holiday, yes, every day with her is Halloween.
Oh, the Grimoires. It really chills my heart. We all have special little songs and such to remind us of our past. As my girl and I were taking a lazy walk through a cemetery, we heard this and made it our special song. It's a lovely piece by Hans Conried. Not of this earth.
I've got two arms to hold her tight, but her three make it an uneven fight. Her eyes are lovely pools of blue that shine with scorn for me who has but two. I love to whisper in her ear and watch the way she makes it disappear. Her lips are formed with tempting grace. I only wish that they were on her face. I grant you that her charms are unusual. It's true that she's 11'3". But tell me, is that any reason why our love shouldn't be? I'll take her by her every hand. I'll try to make my darling understand that after all is said and done, I find three heads are better far than one. I grant you that she tends to be moody. She's sensitive, I know it's true. But somehow she's even more charming when she starts to turn blue. I'll take her by her every hand. I'll try to make my darling understand that after all is said and done, I find three heads are better far than one.
I guess I had better get off of these love songs. Brings back too many memories. I guess I'll put old Hans Conried back on the table and play What Do You Hear from the Red Planet Mars.
What do you hear from the red planet Mars? What do you hear from space? I know that you're from the red planet Mars. Gee, it's great to meet you face to face, to face to face, to face. Yes, what do you hear from the red planet Mars? Is everything about it still the same? When it's winter, are the trees all green with snow?
and an apron. Does it still rain cream? Do those flower sills still bloom yet? By the Dirt Canal, you know, the ones that feed on fleas. Oh, what I wouldn't give to spend another zilch in the Grammys by the Malvern with the Scream. What do you hear from the red planet Mars? What do you hear from space? I know that you're from the red planet Mars. But gee, it's great to see you face to face, to face, to face, to face, to face. Yes, what do you hear from the red planet Mars? Is my little Martian maiden true to me? When it's evenoid, does she still wait by the phase? And a dawn cup, donkey, does she still see sneeze? Are the misters that we pick by the sorab tree still crawling o'er the glen bog in the spot? If we could be once more together in a lover's glee, we'd be heading for the justice of the glass. So give us the word from the red planet Mars. That wonderful outer space, that beautiful outer space, far away outer space, space.
Now that was way out. This night is really wonderful. I feel like going out and dig something up. Or even go down and listen to a little swinging music like Nelson Riddle's Spooks Played a Tune on a Tombstone.
Not a word was heard, not a soul alive. I turned around and I heard some jive. Spooks were playing a tune on a tombstone. Tried to run, but my dog is too stiff. Shook in my breeches and I felt mean if. A fiddle squeaked, a high spooky riff, and spooks were playing a tune on a tombstone. The old town choir had given them their cue. The pilgrims there were square dancing too. While Pocahontas gave them a lift, calling each reel with Captain John Smith. When I awoke, spooks had fled. I looked in the closet and under the bed. There on the floor was the book I read. No more spooky stories for me at night. I never ever want to see another sight like the spooks playing a tune on the tombstone. Spooks were playing a tune on a tombstone. On a tombstone, the old town crier had given them the cue. The pilgrims there with square dancing too. While Pocahontas gave them a lift, calling each reel with Captain John Smith. When I awoke, spooks had fled. Looked in the closet and under the bed. There on the floor was a book I read. No more spooky stories. Midnight, I never ever want to see another sight like the folks playing a tune on a tombstone.
That really makes one want to put on their dancing shoes and do it. Can you imagine dancing to the light of a full moon? knowing that your good friends are all transforming into beautiful animals like wolves and bats and other creatures of this wonderful Halloween night. Oh, how I love this life. Feel like a little dance? Bobby Pickett is really with you. Do you remember Monster Mash?
For my monster from his slab began to rise. And suddenly, to my surprise,
he did the mash.
He did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
He did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
He did the mash.
He did the monster mash. From my laboratory in the castle east. The bedroom where the vampires feast. The ghouls all came from their humble abode to get a jolt from my electrode.
They did the mash.
They did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
They did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
They did the mash.
They did the monster mash. The zombies were having fun. The party had just begun. The guest included Wolfman, Dracula, and his son. The scene was rocky, all were digging the south.